Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Let's talk to Kenny calling from East Oak Lane. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Ken?
Listen, Joe, you and I are going through the same exact thing, right? So,
what's that?
My girlfriend's mom is throwing a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
And so is my family, right? And
it's tough.
I'm going to start here at halftime. I got enough time to go here. And you know what, Joe? She told me, stay with my family, and that's what I'm going to do.
Like, wow. I love that.
There's no love lost. She understands, and I'm sure Amy understands too. Bro, stay with your family.
Are you saying your girlfriend is better than Amy because she's been proactive with this? Is that what you're saying without saying it?
Uh-oh.
Joe just came off a win, and I really don't want to face his wrath.
Kenny,
I'm going to take the fifth on that one.
Kenny, I'll tell you what's funny about this conversation. There's probably, and I'm just guessing, at least 10,000 people and perhaps many more that are in a conundrum. You know what I mean? Like, you know, listening right now. I mean, it's a tough call. I mean, I remember in 04, I watched the game with a group of many of my best friends. You know, 2017, mm-hmm. I watched the game with my brother and my mom and my sister-in-law. You know, like, it's a big decision. And one of my very important decisions or metrics within the decision is I just don't want that many people around me during a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Like, I can't have 30 people in the room when I'm trying to concentrate on an Eagles Super Bowl. I mean, that's, you know.
I had a Super Bowl party, 17, when we won. And I was cooking so much to keep me distracted from watching the game. I might have watched 3 minutes of that game.
Honestly. My mom does that when she watches Eagles games.
Yeah, my nerves were so bad. But
All right, Kenny, I want to get to Coach Vermeil here, my man. Give me a great answer. You can win the Devontae Smith, Kelly Green jersey. What blows your mind?
The speed of a hummingbird's wings.
Wow. How fast is it?
Move from 50 to 200 times in a second.
Really?
Whoa.
Really?
They're the only birds that can fly backward.
50 to 200 times a second, though?
That really sounds almost impossible.
I'm looking it up.
All right, we'll figure that out. In the meantime, let's talk to Coach Vermeil. Dick Vermeil, as always, brought to us by Independence Blue Cross. The region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com, the legendary coach, the Philadelphia Eagles. And I guess Nick Sirianni's got a chance to get that moniker if he wins this weekend. Legendary coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. We welcome Dick Vermeil. Good morning, Coach Vermeil.
Good morning, guys.
Well, we are excited, Coach. Dick. Dick, how do you feel? I mean, next week we'll get your official pick, but we're 9 days out, and today's show is largely a what-are-you-thinking, what-are-you-feeling show related to the game. What are you thinking? What are you feeling right now, 9 days out?
Well, you know, I'm sort of in a position that I can't lose. Having coached both teams, if one team wins, you're happy for them and you're sad for the other. You know, so, you know, but I live in Philadelphia, don't I?
And you lean, you lean Eagles, right? So, you lean Eagles.
Yeah, but, you know, I have friends on both teams. But my feeling is, you know, really the two best teams are going to be playing. We all know that. And I think they prove that all through the season. And when you study them statistically, it's amazing. You know, of course, the Chiefs are known for their offense and Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, Eagles offense is better and statistically. You know, so it's all going to come down to who's the best team game day. It always does in these big games. Like last week's game, for example, when, you know, the Chiefs blow out the Commanders. I keep wanting to say Redskins.
Yeah,
blow out the Commanders.
Yep.
Once a team in a game that big starts losing their passion or starting to realize, you know, we're going to lose this, they really separate. And that's what happened last week. You know, the turnovers, the first play touchdown, all that. And gradually the Commanders started thinking, you know, we can't win this ball game. The season's over and they just can't play as well. And then all
crushed.
Of a sudden you got 50 points on the game.
That's
you
right.
Know? But I think this game will go, I think it'll go right down to the wire. I really, because both teams, obviously, are very good. That's why they're there.
No question. Dick, tell me if you agree with this statement. It's been said by a number of our callers this week. These two statements. The Eagles are better than 2 years ago. The Chiefs are worse than 2 years ago. Not dramatically worse, but a little bit worse. Do you agree with those two statements?
I agree. Yes. I agree. In fact, I really feel that true. Yes.
So it feels like what surprises you that does it surprise you that the Eagles are still considered the underdog in this game? You know, the Chiefs, for everything that they've done this year, the AFC, it's been up and down. It feels like the Eagles just put on a show with 55 points in that NFC championship game, yet they are still the underdog in the Super Bowl at this point. I know you don't pay that much attention to that stuff, but does that make sense to you?
Well, yeah, because I think a lot of times people that make these decisions and do this voting and grading goes on reputation, an accumulation of how they felt about the team over the years. And the Chiefs have been around the Super Bowl for a while now.
Yeah.
So I think you combine that with the fact that they won so many tight games. You know, nobody has won as many tight games in a season as the Chiefs have. So I think they figure, well, the game will probably come down to that, and the Chiefs will play to their profile and win it by a slight margin. And I think that's why the gamblers are influenced that way.
Mm-hmm. This Chiefs team, the number is 17 consecutive wins in one-score games, regular season and postseason included. It's just Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, it seems, makes them so hard to beat. That combination is why is that combination such a 1-2 knockout punch, Coach?
Because they've been together for so long, and they personnel-wise, the team is put together in a fashion that allows them to do what they want to do as efficiently as they want to do it. Even when they get receivers hurt, they end up with some guy, maybe he doesn't catch the bomb, but he starts catching the short ones, or 1 week they'll throw Kelsey two passes, the next week nine. You know, it's just they are so custom and so confident they're going to win. The team plays with consistent discipline. Man, they're not penalized a lot, you know. And in fact, there's people criticizing the officials now in the playoffs because they're not criticizing the Chiefs. Maybe say, very well, coach football team doesn't get penalized as much, okay? Mm. But anyway, I think that's where it is, you know.
Dick from Yale with us right now. So, Coach, you coached in two of these, obviously, you know, won one and lost one, and have observed many, including being friends with many coaches who have, you know, been in this game, both winning and losing. Do you have a sense of the right approach to best prepare your team? I mean, if you're Nick Sirianni, because you have decisions to make, how much to practice, how hard to practice, any number of things that go into the preparation process. Do you have a sense of the best formula for it?
That's a good question. When I went in for the first time in 1980, I called Chuck Knoll. He'd been there many times. And Chuck gave me advice, and I listened to him intensely. Now, it didn't work out game day because we didn't play well enough to win. And, I you know, Andy, having been there, his routine is an advantage. Players know the routine. His staff knows the routine. My second game, there was no bye between our last championship game and the Super Bowl. We got on a plane on Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock and flew to Atlanta. That was a pain in the ass, I'll tell you.
It really, fast. Not enough time to enjoy it.
Yeah, you really didn't have a time to breathe. But also, yeah. I didn't have time to foul him up. we just went like we were getting ready to play a home game and tried it that way. In fact, I left my coaching staff in St. Louis and then flew them in on Wednesday morning early. So it would be like a regular week. They could use all their own computer stuff. They wouldn't be going from office to office. They could meet just as they have been, just as if we were playing at home Sunday. And I think that really helped us prepare for the game because I had to go with the team.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, that's fascinating.
It worked that time, so maybe I should have done that the first time. Wow. I don't know.
Hey, yeah. Dick, Jalen Hurts played a great game in the NFC Championship game. And one of the things we've been kind of breaking down this week is trying to figure out why. I mean, he's always trying his hardest, all that stuff. But why do you think, what did you notice in the last game that that led to him elevating his play in the way that it was so, I would say, different in the passing game with success?
I'd say great definition of what he was going to do with the ball on his pre-snap look. He knew he didn't hesitate very often in the entire game. So excellent game plan. Mm-hmm. Commanders played right into what they had been doing and it allowed them to really define, or him to really define right now, here's what I'm going, bang. You know, yeah. And some nice throws, too. I mean, some complicated patterns. So I think good game plan and great definition on his part. He knew where he was going to go with the ball. And that he didn't have to get back there, count 3 seconds, and look around to find somebody. He knew where he was going. I think that's good game planning, good definition of purpose within the passing game.
Yeah. There was a clear picture for Jalen in that NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And that's because Kellen Moore and that offensive staff and, you know, Nick Sirianni, those coaches, they did a great job of making him comfortable with what he was about to see. So, Coach, how much do you worry now about Kellen Moore? We know that job that he'll probably take is right in this town that they're about to go play in. How much do you worry about that becoming something more than what it is during this preparation week?
I don't think so. I think this late in the season, the preparation routine and the entire offensive staff, and of course Nick sits in there, I don't think it, you know, I used to say in this situation, if it can't help, it hurts. Okay. So, you know, I think there's great structure and discipline with on that staff and how they've prepared all year, or they wouldn't be in the ballgame. But I think with 2 weeks in between, you can give a little thought to your future, but also more thought to what you have to do this week. Yeah.
Dick, is Mahomes the best quarterback ever? And I want to frame it this way. Accomplishments can't be. He hasn't played long enough to have as much as Brady has on the wall of excellence. But is he playing at a higher level than Brady, Montana, Unitas, Elway, Manning? Is he playing at a higher level than all those guys played at?
I would say if you have to give a yes or a no answer, I'd say yes. But there's reasons for it. You know, a lot of the rules have changed some of the great passers. Montana's, the Youngs, the Elways, and those guys, the rules were different. It was a lot more physical downfield. Everything has favored the passing game, which has made the game more exciting.
Yeah.
So that also positively influences the quarterback's performance.
Yeah.
But I would say the combination of Mahomes and Andy Reid has got to be the best ever.
Does it bug you, though, how much the – because I think you're probably right there. I mean, that's my sense. But I'll tell you what, Dick, it bothers the heck out of me the way Mahomes gets those calls from the refs. I mean, come on. Some of those calls are a joke. What do you make of that?
All coaches feel that way. I can remember feeling that way. You know, I'd swear at him. I'd do everything. But maybe it's human nature. I don't know. But I get that feeling from time to time that certain superstars are more protected than the average guy. Okay?
Yep. Have you been in touch with both Nick and Andy?
No. I've texted Andy and I've texted Nick. But, nothing important. Just good luck in your preparation. And, we'll be watching here in Key West.
Coach, there's a little tweak that they've got going on their offensive line, the Chiefs' offensive line. And I know that we're 9 days away, but they have a great left guard in Joe Tooney, who's now
and left tackle. Yeah.
Their left tackle. Yeah. It's sort of been a Band-Aid where oh, man, we need a left tackle. What do we do? Okay, we move our awesome left guard out here. But is this something that we can take advantage of? I don't care how good you are as a left guard. You're still not a left tackle, even though you're playing there.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no way you can be as good as you would be at right guard. I mean, left guard playing left tackle. It's tough. All training camp, all the other games played, all the pass sets are different. All the type of pass rushes and stunts you see are different out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can take advantage of. But so far, the guy's done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
He's talented.
Hey, Dick, next week we look forward to having you on the Ultimate Football Friday. Obviously, we'll break down the game even further. Enjoy the weekend and the lull before the storm, and we'll talk to you next week, Coach. And let me remind everyone listening, great news, if you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can now get delicious Vermeil wines, and it is delicious. Vermeil wines shipped directly to your home. Visit VermeilWines.com. That's VermeilWines.com for Coach's entire wine selection. Thank you, Coach Vermeil.
All right, take care.
You got
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Coach.
There he is, getting ready for another Super Bowl. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. In that Super Bowl coming up, the one thing that is almost a guarantee is that Saquon's going to break Terrell Davis's record for the most rushing yards ever in a season, regular season and postseason combined. He only needs about 30 or 40 yards. And I hope the announcers are on top of that and signify it during the broadcast.
Oh, I'm sure Tom Brady will be all over it.
Oh, yeah, it's dying.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, James, they got
it. I'm with you. It's a big deal, man.
Yeah, you can't let that pass with nothing said.
It's not the same deal as what.
But it arguably should be.
I know it's not, but
what is a cooler record? The one that includes the Super Bowl or not? I don't know.
Right. Yeah, the one that we should have gone for is the cooler record.
Oh, are you still saying that when you saw what Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens had to do to get through that last football game? You think any extra time for these guys was smart? Because no.
Look, here's what I'll say, James. We'll never know. I mean, we knew beforehand there was no way to prove right or wrong. I mean, they could have played those games in that game and still been here or not. So
Of course, but I will say the way this has played out, like, it feels like it was the right decision.
Well, I would agree. It's hard to argue when they're here. I'm with that. Rhea, how are you feeling about the game today? I mean, how are you feeling today about the game up ahead in 9 days? A lot of talk about, where we're at. Where are you at with everything?
I feel pretty confident. And I wasn't as confident, if I recall, back in 2022.
I was way more confident. I was too confident. I was.
Well, I just, I just wasn't, I don't know why. I mean, it could have, I'm not a Gannon fan. It made me nervous because of, what his numbers were against great quarterbacks. I feel great about this for two. Number one, Saquon.
Yep.
Here's the thing. I'm shocked at what the Bills did. I know the numbers were there for the Bills. It says they ran at 32 yards for 147 yards. But they didn't give the ball to James Cook enough. Mm. He had just 13 carries for 85 yards. And he cooked them in their previous meeting. Well, they're not going to stop giving it to Saquon Barkley.
I agree.
So I feel good about that. And I feel really good about the Eagles' defense because the offensive line of the Chiefs is vulnerable with that movement that they've had along there. And I think Jalen Carter is just going to have a field day. And if they double him, then everybody else along that line is going
to... Well, I'll say this. With Jalen Carter about to play in a Super Bowl and having put together a tremendous postseason so far where everyone in the league is watching every game because they're all standalone games. No games overlap. I think this is the last game Jalen Carter, barring injury, the last game he will play for a number of years that he's not a first-team All-Pro. Everyone's about to see the guy play, and I think you can... again, barring injury in certain seasons, probably locking in for the next 4 to 5 years, and he'll be a first-team All-Pro moving forward. All right, let's go to the phones. This segment, Super Bowl preview from Baldy. We'll get to something Ray said about Jalen Hurts and Kansas City's defense. Plus, Brandon Graham weighing in after practice yesterday. Gary in Whitehall right now as we broadcast from Borgata. What's going on, Gary?
E-A-T-L-E-S. Eagles.
You are in a library. You are trying to be a good boy.
No, I'm trying to be a good boy. You're right. I just got home from work and my wife is in bed. So,
good man.
So, always got to take care of, you know, happy life, happy wife. So
there you go.
Anyway. Happy house, happy spouse.
Yes, and by the way, you said it wrong, Gary. It's not happy life,
happy
wife.
Happy spouse, happy house.
No,
happy
you wife, said it backwards, life. Gary. Correct.
That's all right. Yeah, I'm
spouse.
Tired, Joe.
Let's include the husbands
night.
Here, okay?
It's been a long night. So anyway, this team is built like a 69 Ford GT Gran Torino Grand Apple Red with a 428 Cobra Jet.
All right, you got to break
down. You got a problem here. Hold on. There's a problem. It is not red. It is green, Gary. What are we doing here?
That
is playing a team that's red.
All right, but Gary, break that down. What is it? What does it mean?
It's a fine-tuned machine. That's what this team is right now, offensively and defensively, and even on special teams. This team is playing as a unit. When you have a car like the Gran Torino with a 428 Cobra Jet, it is a fine-tuned machine.
No, the Eagles are awesome. There's no question.
I don't want to hear about the Mahomes effect or the Andy Reid effect. I don't see them stopping us.
Well, I think you're too confident when you say that, but I do think the Eagles will win. Just know, Gary, Kansas City wins at a slightly higher level of frequency than the Eagles.
They're skating by. Like,
I know.
Yes.
I get it.
They're infuriating to look at. Like, when you look back at their stats, maybe Travis Kelce a couple games ago is 117 receiving yards, but otherwise, like, no one goes off.
That's why we got to take this. We have to forge ahead into a massive lead and then keep building that lead. Wouldn't that be great to be?
Well, of course
the team
that would be great.
Yes, we're all in favor of that,
good.
John.
I'm in.
All right, Where do I sign?
I think our roster suggests that we're good enough that we can put this team in the rear view. It's just a matter of doing that. I know that it feels like that's a pipe dream. I do think that might be what it takes. If you let them dawdle around, let them stick around, that's why they've got a chance. Like, we put some distance,
right,
and they'll never be able
Gary,
to make it
up. What blows your mind?
The blatant ignorance of motorists who come up to a stoplight that's red, and they see a big sign in front of them that says, no turn on red, and they go anyway.
Yeah, they don't care. I do that sometimes. I mean, come on. Don't blow my mind. I mean,
wow, that's like the least bottom thing of things that annoy me about other motorists.
Yeah, I mean, I could have come up with 50 different things.
Yeah,
that I mean, come on. I mean, you pick your spots.
Sometimes,
you look around, copy around.
Right. Sometimes
it's only affecting yourself. Like, there are things that people do that affect others, you know?
And then
why is there no turn on red? Don't you ask yourself that?
Well, no, we know the
you
answer.
You look around. It's not right now. There's no one coming in any direction.
Well, they're not going to typically have too many signs for like 4 a.m. and 4 p.m., although there's some of that. But my point is there are intersections that are more dangerous than others, higher speeds and all that. I respect that. No problem there. All right. Someone amongst us is in a tough spot. And we have not discussed this yet. And on a Football Friday where we typically make our picks in the 9 o'clock hour, we have to start bringing this into focus for next week. So, John Ritchie, I don't know if you know, you're in a tough spot for our picks. Here's the deal. I'm just going to lay this out. Mm-hmm. Last week, based on Kansas City beating Buffalo, I passed John, now in the lead with our NFL picks for the year. I am a half a game in front of John, okay? One half a game. And I'm telling you right now I'm picking the Eagles.
Okay.
I'm just telling you I'm picking the Eagles.
So I pick opposite that.
It's up to you. I'm just saying, are you going to pick opposite me to have a chance to win our picks?
Sure.
And pick against the Eagles and the whole city of Philadelphia.
It's a transaction.
I'm asking.
No,
tough spot. Now, maybe he's not taking it serious enough, James. It's a tough one.
It wouldn't be that tough for me. Like, I would.
You would take the L in the picks?
I would let you win. Yeah,
yeah,
I would take
the L in the picks.
Yeah. Yep.
You just take the L.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, there have been other times leading up to a championship where I might pick against you and think it's Not the right pick.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I'm trying to guess what you're picking and go the other way if I'm behind you. But this is an Eagles Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I mean, you could have millions of people
and
not
what
happy
but
with
what
you.
I'm doing has no impact on what they do whatsoever.
No, it has an impact on your reputation.
I am doing the only thing I can do.
I'm just saying, you got to win some money.
You got to like celebrate if the Chiefs win. Oh, I won the picks. Woo-hoo!
So now yay! I'm not allowed to pick opposite you.
You can do anything you want to do. Well, I don't care.
I'm not looking at this as anything other than a transaction.
I mean,
am I supposed to look at it like I'm impacting the game?
Well, you would
have
to
somehow
say that you think the Eagles will lose the Super Bowl on the radio. Yeah, like,
of
that's
course
horrible.
I don't think that.
But you have to say it.
But you would have to officially pick it.
No, I have to say I'm picking whatever I'm picking.
All right, here's the deal. Time's yours. We'll have some fun with it next week. But weigh in on the Time's Yours line, 215-238-4500. It is a quandary. It is a quandary. You want to win our picks. I mean, we do these picks for 5-6 months, whatever it is. You want to win our picks, but you don't want to say the Eagles aren't going to be the team. So if you were John, or what would be your recommendation to John for next week, 215-238-4500. It's a strange scenario. All right, let's listen to Baldy. He was on earlier this week. I believe it was with the afternoon guys, Spike, Ike, and Jack. Mini preview, not the deepest dive on the Super Bowl, but a little bit of a Super Bowl preview earlier this week from Baldy.
Been on this train from the beginning. They got to the postseason. You said they would go 4-0. They've gone 3-0. Do you like how they're playing going into the Super Bowl? You like what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I love what I'm seeing. Yeah. I mean, I thought that they would improve as they went through the postseason. I thought each game would present a different type of challenge. But, you know, when you're plus 10 in the turnover ratio in three games,
yeah,
I mean, that might not continue. You know, you can never count on that. But they're taking it away. I mean, they studied a lot of film on how to punch the ball out. And so, they're doing it right now regularly. And if I was Kansas City, I'd be prepared for everybody that's, you know, knocking a ball loose. But not just the takeaways, but the way that they're playing in the trenches on both sides of the ball. You saw how Buffalo ran the ball against Kansas City. When they really wanted to run the ball against them, they could do it. And I think the Eagles can do the same thing. And I think they have the best player in the league in Saquon. And all they got to do is just give him a runway, and I think he'll do the rest. I think he's going to have a good game. I thought they would go 4-0. I haven't, wavered at all on it. I think they go to New Orleans to take care of business.
Love that at the end, man. Right to the point at the end. Love it. You know, one thing Baldy brought up earlier, and I don't know if we've talked enough about it. I'm surprised that it's been as effective as it has. Because I remember 3 or 4 years ago when we first heard the Sirianni coaching group, you know, talk about let's punch the ball out. And, of course, it makes sense. I mean, we saw Peanut Tillman do it, and it can be very effective.
44 times once in a season.
Yeah, creates turnovers and all that. But I did worry at the time, would they miss tackles because they're not focused on the tackle and they're focused on trying to punch the ball out? I don't feel like that has happened.
It seems like one guy wraps him up and the other's going for the punch.
It does seem that way. Yeah. I agree with you.
That's the way it's coached.
Yeah. that's really good coaching. You know? So, you know, tip your hat to the coaches right there. Because I remember, and James, you'll remember, we talked about this 3 or 4 years ago. Like, there's a good, but there's a bad.
I do remember it, yep.
And it's like, no, I don't think the bad materialized. It's really, really well executed. And as you're pointing out, Rhea, well coached to begin with. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. How's everyone?
Doing great.
We're pumped up, Ed. We got a Super Bowl in 9 days, man.
Yeah, it's fortunately this time, well, speaking of the conflicts, the NFC Championship game in 2017, I was actually flying back from vacation. And I had, like, the worst internet access on the plane. So, like, I was buffering all the time. So I had to have, like, a neighbor break into my house to record the game. And, I mean, I knew what the outcome was.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Fortunately, not to worry about that this year.
Well, bad job by you being on the plane during the game. I mean, entirely your fault.
Yeah, it's kind of what happens when you schedule things a year in advance. You have no idea what. But anyway. So, I mean, my favorite part about this team and it's also kind of a worry, but it'll make sense in a second. In each phase, offense, defense, special teams, we have guys who kind of play on that margin. You got A.J. Brown on the offense. You got C.J. G.J. on defense. You got Sidney Brown on special teams.
Margin meaning what? You're saying you don't know how they'll react to a situation?
Very super aggressive, close to the whistle, to after the whistle, like, they bring that edge, that energy.
Yeah, Sidney Brown for sure. I mean, that guy, no question. Yeah. He's got some Al Harris in him. Like, you never know quite what's going to happen.
Yeah, there was a play, I don't know if it was punt or kick coverage, where he literally had to have a guy pull him off a guy.
I saw that.
He was still kicking and screaming like a little kid. It was kind of funny.
Yep.
But just hopefully they're able to harness that and not, you know, get any silly penalties on Sunday. That's really my only concern. Other than that, I think it's
Well, Mahomes should be a concern. I mean, you know, come on.
He's always a concern. Okay. But it just underscores, you know, kind of how confident I am in all three phases of our team that, you know, so it's feeling
like
pretty good.
It's really going to be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting to see Mahomes, who is so, like, he always seems to find the weakness in a coverage. What if the coverage is tight and there aren't any weaknesses?
That's
like, what if this Vic Fangio defense and the coverages and the zones all fit together so well there's not a weakness?
I hear you.
I mean, I guess he just tucks it and, you know, eats it, and it's a
he has scrambled
gain
a lot
or
more
whatever
in the postseason.
It is, 4 yard gain. Yeah, he has to, but I would hope that that's what he's going to end up having to do, and then we'll get a chance to hit him a little bit, and it gets does get interesting. I don't know how that's going to look.
Yeah, that could be dicey.
Yeah, normally there's a weakness that is attacked, and it doesn't feel to me like this Eagles defense has a weakness. I still don't think
they're sound. Yeah. And I know it's impossible to say, hey, they're going to just be they're not going to make mistakes, because that's the whole point of what Andy and his offensive staff are trying to do. They're going to with the pre-snap motions and giving new looks and you know, all that stuff. They're going to try to elicit mistakes.
Yeah. Hey, Ed, give me a great answer for what blows your mind.
Humans have been on this earth for about 200,000 years. Dinosaurs roamed the earth for about 165 million. Yeah.
That's wild.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
A good answer. That's a great answer. You know, here's two things that come to mind for me and what maybe KC with Reed will try to exploit. I mean, this was a concern for me coming into the year. It hasn't been a problem, but try to get Reed Blankenship in coverage, I guess. I mean, he's probably the weakest link back there in that regard. And the other one is, if you're throwing to a wide receiver with a corner covering him, throw to Darius Slayside, who has not been as good as 2 years ago or as Quinyon currently is. And I'm not saying Slay's bad, but I'm telling you, Quinyon is better. And let's be real, when you see plays down the field, more often than not, it feels like a Slay play than a Quinion play.
Well, I mean, is there a receiver in recent memory who's, you know, gone off that we worry about? That's what I think about when I think of this.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. I thought you were going to say anyone on their offense you worry about a receiver. And
it is the same point, right?
No one's really killed them.
Like, the Eagles have done well with guys like Puka Nacua, Terry McLaurin, Jamar Chase with the Bengals earlier in the season. So the Kansas City Chiefs don't have a Jamar Chase.
It's the Zach Ertz thing, because remember, that's what you asked Jason Kelce yesterday, you know, like, how do you stop Travis Kelce? And he said, well, they can't cover him like they covered Zach Ertz.
You know? Yeah, I don't worry that much. Look, I'll just say this. The Ertz thing didn't bother me because it was all underneath.
But that's what Casey does. But that's what Casey does. They dink and dunk down the field.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
They're not explosive.
My point is Fangio may make and should make and will make a greater point of emphasis to stop Kelce than he did to stop
Ertz. Always open, though?
Well, he's amazing.
I mean, it drives him.
The Reed Blankenship thing from the past, that's from the past. I think once we got the proper players on this defense, once we got Cooper DeJean out there in the nickel spot, he's basically nickel linebacker. He's nickel third linebacker. You know, he's playing multiple roles. Once we got Reed Blankenship in the proper roles where he's not having to be leaned on as much for the coverage aspect, I don't feel like he's been as problematic.
No, he hasn't.
This season.
He has not
like
at all.
That feels like it's a thing of the past, like the last few seasons.
Yeah, well, last year in particular. Because he was one of those guys back there when they were getting just decimated.
Cooper DeJean is so overly capable. Like, it's incredible how he can just do it all.
He's
everything
a great
player. You could ever hope for. Like, from that nickel spot, from that nickel linebacker spot, because he will cover anyone out of the backfield, anyone who's a tight end.
Yeah.
Anyone, he can cover your wide receivers.
Here's where I'm at on the defense. After Carter and Bond, in whatever order you want to put them, I think the next two best players on defense are Quinion Mitchell 3, Cooper DeJean 4. And then, you know, maybe Slay
Nolan
5.
Nolan Smith, actually, is probably in that top 5 the way he's played.
I don't know if
dude,
I'm
he
there
has
yet.
More sacks than any Eagle ever in the playoffs. He has 4.5 sacks than most Eagles ever had, and he hasn't played
the Super
Bowl yet.
It reminds me of the Derek Burgess heater in 04, where, like, late in the year, he just went tremendous, went crazy.
Hey, he's picked the right time.
He has. It's like Ryan Madsen in October of 08. Like, all right, we're on fire now. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevrolet would like to wish the birds the best of luck. Together, let's drive for a lot of touchdowns in this game. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who is the Eagles' defensive MVP? Is it Zach Bond or Jalen Carter? Now, Brandon Graham obviously not going to be a defensive MVP this year, but he could be the MVP of the Super Bowl. If he gets in there, if he plays and gets a couple sacks, maybe a fumble-type recovery thing. All right, let's listen to BG. He practiced yesterday. He talked after the practice about how he's feeling. Sounds pretty good.
How did it feel to be back out there?
Felt good, man. We just taking it one day at a time. You know, man, I'm all smiles right now, man. Just enjoying, you know, just the whole ride. Just been rehabbing, getting to this moment, trying to keep everything in, just trying to make sure that I just, you know, do whatever I can for the team. And, you know, we just been pushing, trying to get back, and everything went good so far.
What are some of the benchmarks from here on out? Is it just how you feel after practicing a few days? Just what are the things that would, I guess, keep you from playing in the game?
Well, I think if I'm really striking and it's not feeling really good, I mean, today I struck a little bit, and I didn't feel anything, so I'm not really worried about it. But we is going to ramp it up a little more every day, and man, I'm just happy that I ain't out of shape. You know, that's the biggest thing, because it's been a little while. But it was cool to kind of get individual. And then tomorrow I'll probably get some team reps. And, you know, it was good. But we just taking it one day at a time. Just trying to go out there and help the team, because we're trying to go win this game.
You feel like you had a good place. You're optimistic about being in that game.
I do feel good.
As answers go, to me, that was about, reasonably speaking, about as well as it could have gone. I mean, other than declaring, I will definitely play in the game, to me, that was about the best series of answers you could get.
He was out there striking, as he said, and he said he didn't feel anything, meaning he didn't feel anything negative. Like, there wasn't pain. There wasn't a setback. That's all you can ask for. Now, the question is the day after and the day after the day after, how do you feel? And I would guess that, you know, I would expect a little soreness. I think he expects a little soreness.
Yeah, he's been through. He's a pro.
But
he knows,
he's feeling pretty pleased right now.
Do you think they will deactivate the $50 million Bryce Hoff? Like, if he's not a special teams contributor and goes back to being the fifth defensive end, do you think they're just like, we'd rather? Because I don't know who the 53rd guy on the Eagles roster is. Like, I don't remember.
They've got some offensive linemen who haven't been activated all year.
You always have, like, that guy, and you always have, like, a special teams guy you barely heard of.
It's like Trevor Keegan and some guys like that.
Like, James, Nick Gates, gut feeling. Bryce Hoff deactivated or not, if Brandon Graham plays?
I don't think he'll be deactivated, gut feeling.
I think they wouldn't just for insurance. Like,
that's why, Devin, I agree with you. My answer is just in case something happens, BG can't go, or someone else gets hurt and you need someone to play a lot of snaps. I don't know if BG has the stamina to step in and play 30 or 40 snaps or whatever. I think you have to protect.
Mm-hmm. All right,
he says he does, but we don't know.
Yeah, we don't really know. Let's go to Bryce in Wilmington. What's happening, Bryce?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing great, Bryce.
So, yeah, I just wanted to hop on and say, like, I don't, like, usually, like, the national media, I never really listened to what, like, they would say before because I just didn't think it really mattered. But for some reason now, it's just bothering me so much how, I don't know if disrespect is the word, but I just feel like no one, a lot of people aren't giving the Eagles the props that they deserve. And the one guy who I especially do not like is that Nick Wright guy.
Yeah, he's a little irritating.
He's extremely irritating.
He's a Chiefs fan too. I think he had that Eagles point at the beginning of the year saying they were going to finish third in the division, and he just does not want to admit he's wrong.
Let me just say this, and this goes for him but any number of other people, and I strongly encourage you to remember this for the rest of your life. There are people, many national people, who say things just to tweak you and millions of others. And it like, Bryce, if he didn't say something absurd, and I don't even know the specifics.
Basically, that network is built on that.
Then, Bryce, you're not saying his name. And then, you know, 100,000 people listening to us right now don't hear the name Nick Wright. Like, it's for some people, it's a game. And it's sick, and I don't like it. But my point is, I get your frustration, but sometimes, man, just look at those fools and be like, it doesn't really matter.
I can't do it. I'm gonna fall for it.
I respect
that. I'm going to fall for it every time.
I get it.
I love that he's honest, though.
No, I get it.
I'm going to fall for it. It does get irritating.
It's the Skip Bayless thing. Obviously, Skip Bayless doesn't believe everything he says. I mean, come on. Bryce, give me a great answer. What blows your mind?
So I was going to say the fact that there's 80% of the world's oceans that is undiscovered.
Has already been said. Give me a different answer.
Oh, man. How about, like, the concept of time? Like, I just read a fact today, and it said, I think the last public guillotine execution happened after Star Wars was released.
Yes, that is true.
That is true.
Bryce, good answer.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, there's a lot of things.
Public guillotine.
Mm-hmm. I saw that
the
other day.
It was like 78 or 79 it happened. Yeah, I think it happened in 78 or 79, the last one,
what
something like that.
What country was this in?
I'm assuming France. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Why are you assuming France?
Well, just because the guillotine's from France. I could check.
Yeah, I mean,
they're so proud of it.
Oh, man.
It's just.
Can you imagine showing up for the public execution? Like,
no.
Here comes Marie. Let's get Marie Antoinette. So
how many people you think showed up?
Oh, I mean, if the king got, when Louis the 16th got beheaded, I would think the whole town was out there. They hated the guy.
They were kind of mad.
Yeah, they were kind of mad.
So it was in France, by the way.
There you go, James.
September 10th, 1977. So it was the same year just after Star Wars.
What did the person do?
That's actually crazy.
What if you hated the person?
So how many people showed up?
Well, we don't know.
I don't know.
John, you're going too deep. You don't have those powers off the top of his head. Mm. All right, Devin, getting closer to the Super Bowl, which means getting closer to you on the sidelines of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Do you feel extra? Do you think you will feel extra nerves in the prior five games you've done because it's the Super Bowl?
I mean, Yes, but again, I don't know if nerves is the way to put it. Like, I'm not nervous for the – I weirdly feel –
No, I meant for you and
yeah,
your job.
No, I yeah, know, okay, I know. But okay. I weirdly feel, like, less and less nerves as these games go on for the Eagles. I feel pretty confident in them. For myself, I think it's more of, like, an excitement. So excitement mixed with nerves. But it's, like, I don't think I'll be able to fully comprehend the feeling until I'm standing there, you know, on the turf in the Superdome. Yeah. You know, it's surreal to even think about.
I'll give you one thing just to be aware of, because Super Bowl, obviously, and, John, you know this being on the sideline. Like, it's – I have not been on a sideline, obviously. But it's different. Super Bowl stuff is different. And here's one unbelievable fact, Super Bowl history, that is true, but it's the kind of thing, Devin, that could trip you up, these kind of interferences. So we know 2 years ago, Eagles Super Bowl was affected by a ridiculous field. And some people say it got worse at halftime with the show that went on the field. Okay, that whole deal. Thurman Thomas missed the first two plays of a Super Bowl 1 year because his helmet had been moved. Because when the group went out there for, like, the national anthem or whatever pregame, they moved his helmet, and his helmet was gone.
It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
And he could not find his helmet when the Super Bowl started. And that's why when Kenneth Davis is in there, the announcers are like, why in, like, the hell is Thurman Thomas not in the game? My point to you is you can do all the preparing you want.
Yeah.
All of it. But, like, there's a lot of stuff that goes on out there.
There is, and that's the beauty of covering, you know, live game action and being able to be a sideline reporter.
John, how annoyed – okay, I'm asking this to Seltzer first, then Richie. James Seltzer, on a scale of 1 to a trillion, how mad would John be if someone moved his helmet and he couldn't go play because he didn't have the helmet?
There is no scale. Like, a trillion doesn't cover it forever.
All right,
you'd be
Richie,
forever mad.
If that happened to you, talk to me.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you don't touch anyone's stuff. You don't touch anyone's pads or you know that all that equipment that is off limits.
Because there's so much stuff going on out there that's different.
Everyone has their own little things. Everyone's got their superstitions. So every one of those little pads that you're putting on your body, it's got some sort of pattern to the way it goes before it lands on you. don't mess with my stuff.
That.
Do not touch anything.
You imagine that. All right, let's get to Keith. He's calling from Northeast Philly. Good morning, Keith.
All hail Caesar Hammer.
Oh, thank you, Keith. You got to stop.
It sounds bad.
15 questions it, right. 5 for 5, 2 weeks in a row, and 4 out of 5 today.
Yeah, I'm on fire.
Okay.
On fire.
Yeah, that's pretty
impressive.
It's
not that great.
You got to put me back. And
you don't have to do this, Keith.
I'll be the streak stopper like I was last year.
Knock it off?
Yeah, come on. We'll wait. I'll let you win, you know, next week for the Super Bowl. But
look, I've had slump busters, but you're not one of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But,
No, Joe, we don't.
Something else you guys haven't talked about who's not going to be in the Super Bowl is the Sod Father. We won't have him.
That guy.
Yeah.
What was his name? Began with a T.
How do we know he's not?
No, he retired.
He retired.
That was
good.
But didn't he say that he warned them that it was bad and the NFL had their own person
Toomey,
out
right?
there?
Toomey?
Something like that, but he was really unhappy about the field.
Well, he was unhappy about the criticism.
Oh, no, they watered it too much or something like that?
Something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. But, like you said about the game, though, like, Saquon's a big difference. Of, you know, you got the best player in football on your team this year instead of Miles Sanders. That alone's huge, and like you said, the defense is much better.
Well, I'll just tell you this, Keith. Obviously, I love Saquon. I'm not ready to say Mahomes is not the best player. I'm just not ready to say.
Yeah, Mahomes is the best player in the field, but yeah, Barkley's having the best season. He should be MVP. He's unstoppable right now. But like you said, you can't be naive to the fact that it is, you know, Mahomes and Reed and Kelce and Chris Jones, but
And Spags. Spags should be in the Hall of Fame. I think it's a travesty coordinators don't get in the Hall of Fame. It's like if we're going to put a punter in the Hall of Fame, put a coordinator who's got 4 Super Bowl rings.
Jim Johnson belongs, and Spags eventually will belong.
Well, Spags really belongs. He's got 4. Jim Johnson, and God bless him, I loved him. He didn't win a Super Bowl. Spags has 4 of them.
But Jim
4.
Johnson,
and not just that 4, but played a major role in
major
all 4.
Major role.
Yes.
Major role. Stopping Brady twice? You freaking kidding me? Keith, give me an answer. What blows your mind?
The fact that Joe DeCamera at 46 years old thinks a frog has 2 legs.
Good answer.
All right. Yeah, things happen. Let's talk to Rose Ellen. Rose Ellen, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Super. Rhea.
Hello.
I just want to say I feel very confident that the Eagles, yay, we won, and we're going to the Super Bowl, and I think we're going to win it by 14 points.
Nice.
I think that we are a better team. You know, a lot of the other callers I'm totally agreeing with. And I feel confident. I think that Googly Moogly Greed is going to fail, and we have to beat him. And I just don't like him. I can't get over all the games that he made us lose by his time management.
Well, it was brutal. That part was brutal. But I'll tell you this, Roselle, I've seen enough of Andy and KC that I don't think it's an issue anymore. I mean,
right,
to his credit, it only took about 175 years for him to figure it out, but he actually figured it out.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he's his commercials and everything. I don't know.
They're funny. They're funny.
Yeah, I believe that we're going to win. I think our defense is going to be all over Mahomes, and then with Barkley and Brown, I really do feel confident.
Okay, I like it, Roselle. Yeah. Give me a great answer. What blows your mind?
What blows my mind is how can people from Philly be Dallas Cowboy fans?
Yeah, good answer.
Good one.
Good answer for sure. Two.